In the epistle not of the Solemnity, but the epistle of the Sunday after Pentecost, the 15th, St. Paul writes this to the Galatians. If a man be overtaken by any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why did Our Lady appear so many times in France? And why do you get so many sermons about it so many years later, well over a century and a half? Well, the French would say, la mission divine de la France, the divine mission of France. That's the reason why. It's a theory that's all tied up with St. Joan of Arc and the French monarchy, their consecrated kings, and the Sacred Heart who appeared there in France. The idea is that Christ would reign as king over this country, and then by means of France, over all the world. There is something to it, I think. You can't help but sense a little of being on holy ground when you go to this very Catholic land, almost a Catholic holy land, full of martyrs and Marian apparitions and so many miracles and so many great saints. But regardless of the divine plan, the French were never up to it. People usually aren't. Look at the Hebrews of old. They failed in their divine mission, and they formally refused it. And even those who would go along with it went about it often in the wrong way, a big dose of what St. Paul calls vainglory and provoking one another and envying one another, and everyone has his own idea and is a little bit egocentric about it, and everybody disagrees. All of this is what happens, Our Lady says, when we refuse to listen to God's word with calmness. Remember that calmness she spoke of at Pelvoisin, which in turn engenders a feeling of confidence. Its opposite, from which Mary would deliver us, is confusion. Too many voices and all at a volume that's set too high. But why so many apparitions then in the 19th century? There was the miraculous medal and the green scapular. Why was there Lourdes and then La Salette and Pomain? Do you remember Our Lady of Hope? And then at the very end, Pelvoisin, Our Lady of Mercy or of the Sacred Heart. All of this before she leaves France for Ireland, and then Portugal, and then Belgium, and then finally, and I can't say that I'm surprised, they say she even came here to River City, you know. Our Lady of America, she called herself, appearing to a lowly, precious blood sister, Archbishop Leibold's housekeeper. Some of you remember the name. That might be worth a sermon in an election year. But back to France. Why France, first of all? Why, in a word, revolution. The greatest revolution ever to shake Christendom. The follow-up of the Protestant revolt and the precursor to the Vatican II revolution of 50 years ago, this fall, the French Revolution. Very few understand its significance. But we are, all of us, shaken by it, shaken and stirred, still, 2 centuries later. Now, amongst the ravages wreaked by revolution, and here we may well reckon, by personal experience, come countless casualties, the innocent lost, indeed, innocence lost. You see the wrecks, the remnants of piety, of devotion, and of Christian life, all of which fall victim to revolution. People are shaken up, and they fall away. Piety falls off, as does church attendance and the reception of the sacraments. Those who used to come don't anymore, to devotion, say, or daily mass. And the devout habits of a Christian, God-fearing people in this or that place are wounded, perhaps grievously. And do you think this would not have its echo in the home, in family life? Now, who will heal the sick? Who will correct, but so meekly, the erring? Who will defeat the vainglorious? Who will deflate their pride and show us how to rebuild, if not the Mother All-Merciful, Mary, whose very name makes demons tremble and gives the wretched undeserved help? So, Our Lady comes, and I am convinced she comes again today to give us sacramentals, these little helps and spurs to devotion, the miraculous medal, scapulars, both green and white, and to give hope and healing with water at Lourdes, and to ask man, having received so much, to give back to God what? One day out of seven, the Sunday she asks for at La Salette. And even in wartime's desolation, Mary came to praise the devotion of one parish priest and to raise the people's spirits in the face of the Prussian invasion at Pommern in the year 1871. And last of all, before leaving her beloved France for other lands, she came to turn us all to her Son, the source of mercy, his Sacred Heart, and to remind us not only of prayer, but of that very antithesis of the revolutionary rabble: calm. Calm and thus confidence. Why did Our Lady come to that post-revolutionary land, overtaken by many a fault, except, as St. Paul phrased it, to instruct in a spirit of meekness, if, when we fall into those same faults, perhaps by an excess of zeal for our Catholic faith, made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, we must heed that same meek warning from Mary's lips. But it comes from a mother. She came to see Estelle on the 15th of September, the year 1876, and told this woman she had healed, Our Lady did, that she realized that she was trying, and it's important to try, that she was doing her best to keep calm. But Our Lady said she wanted this calm not just for her, but also for the church and for her country. And then, see how discreet and how subtle is Our Lady. She gets a thought, and she only sighs, and she moves her head slightly. And then she says, "Il y a quelque chose." There's something. but she doesn't say what that something is. Estelle understands it to be some kind of discord, of course. But then moving on, she says, France, what haven't I done for her? So many warnings, and she still refuses to listen. I can't restrain my son anymore. France will suffer. And think of it, how she did. Soon afterwards, they threw out the nuns and the religious. They closed the monasteries, the convents, and the schools. And then came two bloody world wars fought on French soil. Courage, she says still, seeing it all that will happen. Courage and confidence. Meanwhile, Estelle is thinking to herself, they'll never believe me. But I've paid in advance, Our Lady says, answering the objection. Too bad for them if they don't want to believe. They will recognize too late the truth of my words. Why must it always be too late? Email is going around amongst the traditional Catholics of our now many churches in Cincinnati, proposing a rosary novena for our country to start September the 13th and to end on the election day, the 5th of November. A rosary novena is very powerful. Do you know how that works? You say a rosary for 27 days consecutively, asking for one intention, a petition. And then right away, confidence, you say another 27 rosaries in thanksgiving. Together that makes 54 days of rosary prayer. It's an excellent idea. Nothing could be better. But careful, the novena ends November 5th, election day, but don't be getting the idea that our national salvation is going to come out of Salt Lake City, still less from that socialist from Chicago. No, no. It's a supernatural miracle we need and we're praying for, not a Mormon naturalist in the White House or 4 more years of communist reorganization of our country. But you see, we have to ask. A man in France told me, this is very French, that he prays for the restoration of the French monarchy and that a great monarch would come and put order into France and all the world. And I sort of looked at him rather quizzically, and he said, well, he said, if you don't ask, you'll never receive. And he's right, isn't he? Sunday, September the 10th, the Virgin Mary at Pelvoisin, on this feast day, the Holy Name Solemnity, came to Estelle, and she summarized all of this very simply. Let them pray, she said. It was Sunday afternoon. Let them pray, and I will show them the example. In saying this, she folded her hands and disappeared. And the vesper bell rang next door at the parish church. Now, surely it would be a miracle if any of you came to vespers of a Sunday afternoon. Sunday Mass, of course, is the only thing obligatory, strictly speaking. And I realize that for many, that's quite a project enough. But the old evening prayer, the voice of the spouse, the chant of the psalms, and Mary's powerful Magnificat. Couldn't we come sometimes just out of devotion? Still, at the very least, the popular replacement of the psalms is the rosary, and this too is an extra. We could do it, couldn't we, in the evening with our families, these 54 coming days, we could do it because we love our country, couldn't we? Surely this little extra we could give in order to get out of the line. It's a long lineup now of people waiting for the guillotine, which stands sharpened and ready. The revolution come to America for our church and our country. Calm, confidence, and let them pray. I will show them the example. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.